I'm Sarah Lippman. Welcome to Torati Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be learning Sefer Mishlei, Proverbs, Chapter 13. The overall message of Chapter 13 is the importance of tapping into our real deep inner desire for closeness to God and not letting that desire devolve into focus on superficialities that never really satisfy. We will be using the teachings of Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch as the overall basis for our study. In Chapter 13, the word nefesh, soul or life force, appears seven times. That's five times more frequently than the rest of Sefer Mishlei, the Book of Mishlei, and 15 times more frequently than it would typically appear in a similar length passage in the rest of Tanakh. The first instance of the word nefesh in the Torah comes on the fifth day of creation, in Bereshis chapter 1, verse 20. Vayomer Elokim, and God said, Yishritzu hamayim, let the waters swarm, sheretz nefesh chayo, with moving, living creatures. So the sheretz is describing the independent movement, and the nefesh is describing the livingness, the inner cause of that movement. The nefesh, the inner drive for movement, is innate in every living creature that has an individualized or independent life, and that is what causes it to move. That's why the word nefesh is also used to mean will, for will is nothing else but the starting impulse for movement. With its nefesh, a created being becomes a self-contained individual with a goal, and in higher order creatures, a personality. The nefesh is something quite apart from the material body. It is an intangible something that is innate within every living body, and it remains constant, as is characteristic of that which is spiritual, in the midst of an ever-changing material, physical body. I'd like to suggest a thought experiment. Let's say we have a person who sadly needs to have a leg amputated, but he can be given a transplant leg. Is he still himself? Yes, he's still himself. He just has a leg transplant. What if he had both legs transplanted? What about two legs and an arm? Two legs and two arms? What about his whole head? At what point does he not become himself? You might say, hold on, Sarah Lippman. If somebody's head is transplanted, that would be the red line. If someone's head is transplanted, that would be the point at which he is no longer himself. I could argue back to you, though, that all cells in a body, including brain cells, die off and have to be replaced. So at what point, when the person's cells of their head and brain are being replaced, do they stop being themselves? Rabbi Hirsch, in his commentary here, is pointing out to us that the body and all physicality is always in a state of change and flux and turnover. And every person's body, in a sense, is recreated over time. What stays the same, what is the constant, what provides the constancy of our identity is our nefesh. Let's take a look more closely at the verses and see the distinction that the Torah does make between the creation of the human and the creation of other creatures. Going back to that first reference, the insects are a function, are born of the waters. Animals later are born out of the ground. Where does a human come from? Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es ha'adam. God created the man afar min ha'adama, of dust of the earth. But at this point, he isn't yet alive. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. God blew into his face a breath of life. Vayehi, and thus he became nefesh chaya, a living creature. Like a glass blower who blows air from within him through a pipe into the material of the glass, allowing it to expand and take shape and take on identity, God breathed from himself, whatever that means, we can't really understand. And that soul, that breath of life born of complete spirituality, enters into a human body and provides the nefesh, the motivation to grow and do and move. There is a really important difference between a human being, who is, of course, a living organism, a nefesh chaya, with a physical motivation to act and move and go and be inspired, but my life force does not come from the earth, and my life force does not come from the water. My life force comes from the breath of God breathed into me. That is entirely divine, and that divine breath, which is my living spark and spirit, that is noble and immortal. It is eternal. People are not defined by our bodies. Our bodies are always changing, always turning over. Our identity is our soul, and our soul is constant and lives on forever. There's something in a person that goes on beyond ordinary calculations. There is a special dignity in being an Adam, a human being, in having a nefesh that is a breath of life from the divine, that allows the force that drives and motivates us to be something that can rise above physical necessity, above the messages of the body, that can make us free and bring us freedom. So when I see the word nefesh used, it means the spirit. It means the physical drive or the physical will. In a human being, in me, the nefesh is the most basic interface of my soul with my body. It gives me life. It gives me drive. And because that nefesh is a breath of God breathed into my body, my soul is connected to God and continually longs for the divine presence and to be close to him. There is a kind of restless searching that humans feel. We know we want something more. We know there's a happiness and a comfort that can be found if we can just get there. And it's really important for us to realize that that drive, that motivation, that urge, that's coming from our soul. That's coming from the spiritual side of us seeking closeness and happiness with God and comfort and a home. And that is not something that we're ever going to satisfy with anything other than that. We will always be wandering, searching, eating, tasting, trying, experiencing, chilling, trying to find that which will bring us the comfort that we're craving and urging and yearning and moving towards. We want to never get distracted. We want to never get off track because it won't get us where we're trying to go anyway. And most important, that soul within me, with the nefesh side interfacing with my physical body, the neshama side, the life breath of God interfacing with him. That means that when God, my creator, looks at me, he sees inside of me a pure, perfect soul, a breath of divine, and that is valuable and lovable to him, no matter what. Let's take a look at how Mishle uses the term nefesh in our chapter 13, in light of what we've learned. Verse 2, Mipri fi ish yochal tov, v'nefesh bogdim chamas. From the fruits of a person's speech, he will enjoy good, but the desire of the faithless is violence. Verse 3, Notzer piv shomer nafsho, poshek svasav mechitalo. One who guards his mouth protects his life. One who opens his mouth wide, that is his ruin. Misava va'ayin nafsho atzel. One who craves but does nothing, it's because his soul is lazy. V'nefesh charutzim tedushan, the life of the diligent is fattened. Verse 8, Kofer nefesh ish ashro, a wealthy person could redeem his life. V'rash lo shama ge'ara, but only if poor people never hear shouting. Verse 19, Ta'ava nihiya te'erav lanafesh, desire materialized is sweet to life. V'so'avash k'silim sur meira, turning away from evil is abhorrent to fools. Verse 25, Tzadik ochel lesova nafsho, a righteous person eats just to satisfy his physical needs. Uveten rishaim techsar, the stomach of the wicked is always empty. When I feel that restlessness inside, when I feel that something's missing, I feel like I need to go and move and do and change and make something different, let me remember, that is a function of my divine soul breathed within me. That is my lifeline connecting me to God. And let me remember that at my center, I am pure and perfect and good, because God is pure and perfect and good, and no one, even me, can spoil that. So why don't I build on it? Thank you for studying together with me, Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.